Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody. I want to welcome everybody again to another episode of tonight's show, The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. I'm the host for tonight, Chris Richardson, and I am certainly excited that you have found it fit, not Robert, to join us again for another Monday night at 9. Tonight's a very special night. Let me go ahead and lay out a little bit of foundation for the show tonight so there won't be any surprise to you. Listen, everyone has an opinion. I say that your opinion does matter. We always have one simple rule. Two, at that, this is a safe zone. No one has a heaven or hell to put you in, number one. Number two is that your opinion does matter, but your opinion is not the only one. All I ask is that if you call in and you want to share and dialogue, just share the road. That means we can agree to disagree, but we agree that we're never going to attack the messenger, but we can challenge the message. That's it. Listen, for those of you who are rolling for the very first time, this show was created a couple of years ago, and I've been blessed to be the host of the show, but also been blessed to create some relationships along the way. And one of those particular relationships is with the Smiths. Edward and Debbie Smith have been my road partners on this journey for quite some time now. And honestly, there are a number of others, but if I had to give shout out, I certainly need to shout them out. And they're joining me tonight. And we are particularly excited because we got Debbie Smith who stayed up for tonight's show. So we're going to give her shout out first. Hey, hey, Deb.
Hey, Mr. 805.
Hey, so y'all, I'm just going to let y'all in on this little 805 thing. So one day we had a scheduled meeting, and, you know, it was, I said, you know, well, I'll be free, but it'll be like 5 minutes after the hour. You know, I was tied up at the moment, so I said 805. So they were like, who sets an appointment for like 805? Who does that? You know, so that's it. So That's why they say 805. So now you know you went on our little secret. And but Big Daddy's in the house too, so we got to give him a shout out as well. Brother Edward, my brother from Jamaica, man, go ahead and say hello to the folks, man.
Yeah, what up, brother? I ain't gonna call you no 805, man. I'm just gonna call you my little brother, man. Man, listen, man, it's a delight as always to be on the show, man. You know. Because we're here just to talk together, man. You know, let's unpack some stuff and see what I can learn from you, what you can learn from me, so we can be better men and women for the kingdom.
Hey, amen, amen, and amen. Now, tonight, y'all, this is a challenging topic because, you know, we're talking about something when, you know, really that's pretty heavy. So I always when I go into some heavy stuff. Usually I'll bring a guest in or, you know, I'll go into foundational principles. Now, y'all know we make no apologies that this is a Christian-based show, that we subscribe to Christian principles. So tonight's show, we've got to do that because we're talking about matters of the heart. And the title of tonight's segment is Your Heart Ready for a Relationship? We'll find out. I hope that by the end of the night you'll have some biblical truths that you can walk away from, do your own research and due diligence, because I had to do mine to put something into this for tonight, and I'm certain that Edward and Debbie did the same as well. So we want to talk about that, but first we want to tell you, if you want to join us tonight on the call, you can dialogue with us. Dial in 619-924-0869. Just dial 619-924-0869, and you can also join us live on our Facebook group. We got a group page that's The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. All you have to do is go to The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. Join us on the group page, and you can post in our chat discussion that we'll have that's live as well. I see, Tracy, you're out there, and that's good. It is certainly good to see you in the place tonight for sure. So let's jump right into it. Debbie, I got to give you shout-outs, and let's come your way. So what made you join us tonight for this show? Is your heart ready for a relationship?
What made me join you? I just thought I would grace you guys with my wonderful presence tonight. That's all. Nothing super special. Just, you know, it's an interesting topic. I'm feeling good. I'm not sick. I'm up, energetic. So I said, hey, I'm here.
All right, cool. And I don't know if you twisted her arm or not. See, I thought, you know, listen, the Smiths are they're special, and they're getting some notoriety for the work that they're doing in the kingdom and everything. And they've got their own segment too, so they'll tell you more about that later, how you can listen to them on Tuesday nights as well. But they've got an online segment that they're doing that's actually starting to get a lot of traction. So we're gonna certainly hear more about that. But and let's jump into the meat and potatoes of this show, because the listeners, you know, we're gonna give them a little appetizer first before we give them the entree. Let's go ahead and get down into it like we do, and let's talk about that thing. When you think about being heart ready for a relationship, what does that mean to you, Ed?
Is it heart ready for a relationship? You know, when the moment I saw the topic, you know, it reminded me of when we were kids. And let me even fast forward. It reminded me of our children. You know, and here it is that our children are in their early teens and stuff, and even before teens, and oh, you know, I remember my daughter, who is now married, she came home, and you know, well, she would not divulge a lot of information with me, but with her mom, you know, I saw this guy and I like him, you know, and just having that Google Gaga, that giggly stuff, you know, and that they're in. They want to get into a relationship, you know. And one day I remember having a conversation with her in the basement, Chris, you know, and I said to her, why at your age do you think you want to be involved in an exclusive relationship with this guy? What is it that you're going to do with this guy, being that he's about to be exclusively yours, that you can't do with him, you know, or that any other girl can't do with him, you know? And so she could not answer that question, whether or not she could answer it, she did not answer it, you know. And I said, until you understand what it means to have an exclusive relationship at your age, you're not ready for a relationship. You know, the Bible speaks, Chris, about, you know, do not wake love before it's time, and there are several reasons for that. But one of the reasons is that if your heart is not ready to handle love and the intricacies that comes with love, you can't interrupt love. You can't wake love before it's time, because if you wake it before it's time and venture into it, you're walking into what we call unfamiliar ground, and when the darts of life or the darts of relationship are being thrown at you, if you're not equipped, then you won't be able to dodge them, brother. In my opinion,
That's so true. Debbie, what do you think of when you think about, is your heart ready for a relationship? Ed said some poignant things. What comes to mind when you think about the subject?
Yeah, I think, you know, he touched on a lot of the same things that I was thinking. I think about, are you emotionally ready to handle love? You know, there are so many people that have so many different issues from their past, you know, unable to trust, walls that they've put up because of being hurt in the past. So when I hear that, is your heart ready for love, I'm thinking, are you mature enough to handle love? And also, are you healed? Are you in a place where you're ready to receive and to give love freely?
Yeah, that's so true. All the above do matter, that are significantly important. And what we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to get right down into it. So I want to hear from the listeners. What do you think about when you think of the topic? Is your heart ready for love? Well, is your heart ready for a relationship? You know, when I think about this topic, it's an important piece of it, because I think a lot of people jump before they're ready. Everybody gets excited about the fairy tale. Everybody gets excited about jumping the broom. And we all want to feel a part of something. We want to feel connected to something. But a lot of times, our heart isn't ready for what's coming. And so we get involved in something, but we're not committed to it. You know, there's a saying I used to say, is that why should the pig get involved if the chicken won't commit? See, one of them only has to make a decision, and one of them has to give his life. So sometimes we're getting into relationships with people who are only making a decision that keep you as the option versus make you the priority because they're not willing to sacrifice their life. I'm going to talk about sacrifice later on, and I've got something to you. I'm going somewhere with the setup here, so just work with me. I can't give you the meat and potatoes just yet because you got to be ready for the appetizer because I don't want you to choke on this, so I'm going to give you some water to digest this thing here. But, you know, at the end of the day, when we look at being heart ready, that's a major thing. I mean, your heart is something that's significant, and the Bible talks about a lot about that. And I did my research, but I don't want to talk about that just yet. I want to hear from a caller, or I want to hear from someone who's out there. When you think about being, you know, is your heart ready? What does that mean to you? You know, what does that mean to you? So I'm ready to take some calls and some questions. 619-924-0869. That's the number to dial in. 619-924-0869. Just press 1 on the dial pad, and I'll take your comment or your question. Now, if you're in the social media group, I'll go ahead and read your question or your response that you're posting in there. So I'm looking forward to seeing somebody's response or somebody's question. Rob, I'm sure you got some questions out there. Chris, I know that you're listening, so a shout-out to you as well. We had a great conversation earlier today. Teresa, I know you got some thoughts and comments around this. And Tracy, I know you're not going to be quiet on this segment. Absolutely not. I'm not going to let you do it. So I'm just shouting some people out there, not throwing anybody under the bus, but I know y'all got some thoughts around the subject matter, and so I just kind of want to see where you all are before we redirect the ship. All right, 619-924-0869. If not, I might jump in and just kind of take a call because I see this one's kind of lit up tonight, and Debbie, on that. All right, there we go, 240, I see you coming for you, 240-406. Here we go, you are live. Tell us your name and what are your comments or your thoughts.
Hey, Chris, it's Tracy. I totally agree with hey y'all, back again. I totally agree with what everyone said. I really believe that a lot of people rush into it. It's like you said, it's the fairy tale. It's for some people they just can't be alone. For me, I believe it's you need to be healed, and you also need to bear the responsibility. Are you ready to take on a mate? Are you ready to make those sacrifices? Are you ready within yourself to give yourself? A lot of people, I think, jump into things, and it's like you said earlier, you know, they're just giving, you know, they're half-assing it, you know, and it's because I can have this out of this person or I can have this out of that person. They're just, you know, chopping away at bits and pieces. If you want something, then your heart truly has to be ready for it, and you have to give it 100%. You know, not just 100%, 1,000%, you know. But I do think people rush into it, and it's because we're ingrained from a young age that we have to be married. You know, no one talks about the marriage tax, but we won't go there tonight. But, you know, it's a facade at times. People just want what they see that others have, but they don't know the work and the sacrifices that it takes to keep a strong union.
You know, everything looks good on the outside until you really get in on the inside. If you were a fly on the wall, it may not look as good as you think it will. You know, and flies are often, and I can't say this because it's, you know, the nature of the show, but flies are often attracted to it. Okay, that's all I give
you.
You put the other two letters in front of it. You know, so that's often the case. Now here's the thing, though. What you put out is usually what you get. Now, a lot of times, I was talking to somebody recently, and we were talking about dating. I did a segment with Ed and Debbie, and the dating thing, you know, I'm not an advocate for dating when you're not ready, just to go out with somebody. Because I believe, like, look, your time is too critical and too important for you to be wasting time with the wrong person. What if, in the process of you, God trying to prepare your heart, prepare your mind, and to prepare you for and equip you for what is coming, with the right person, and you over here busy courting and having fun with the wrong person. Now,
you got to breathe.
Ultimately, you block your blessings.
Yep.
Come on,
Hey, Chris, I was saying also, you know, whatever you think about the magnitude of the question that you're asked, is your heart ready for love or, you know, are ready to handle love? You know, that question can only be answered. The way a woman answers that question is sometimes kind of different from the way a man should answer that question, in my opinion, because, you know, when you look at the magnitude of that question, you know, for a man, you know, are you, you know, is your heart ready to lead? Is your heart ready to to submit? Is your heart ready to be a servant leader? You know, and these things, because if you're not, if your heart is not ready to do this, then you definitely are not ready to be in any kind of a relationship. You know, and for a lady, you know, is your heart also ready to submit? Is your heart ready to allow the man to lead as he allow God to lead him? Are you looking for that type of relationship to be led? To be led by a man. And so these are some of the questions that we need to unpack in the relationship, because oftentimes because in my opinion, these are the foundations of on which a relationship stands on. And once we start to ignore the ingredients for the foundation, before you know it, the foundation becomes sinking sand or quicksand, some people might know it as, and before you know it, we are sinking and we just can't get out of it.
I agree with you and all of that. And we got I see Alicia made a post out there. She said, I think both people have to be ready for a relationship. You must have heard from God to hear if the person is the right person for you. That's good. And I know I saw Teresa had made a comment out there as well. I'm going to come back and get yours, Teresa. But we got a call out there from 202. I saw you a minute ago, Chris. I think that was you, but you must have dropped. So call back in and press 1 on your keypad, and I'll bring you back in. It was a 2 number that I saw. But nonetheless, all of those things are important when you're focusing on it. But it's your foundation that you're building on. And if your foundation is off base, or it's your fallacy that you're living out, you know, if you don't have the right foundation poured, you may think that you're ready for something that you're really not ready for. So your blessing, remember in the beginning in Scripture, God said it was not good for man to be alone. And so then he blessed them with a helpmeet, right? And then he said it is good. But here's the thing. It says when a man finds a wife, he findeth a good thing, right? Right? Y'all know that's scripturally based, right? But here's the thing. Sometimes if your heart's not ready, the thing that's good for you, that's supposed to be your blessing, will ultimately be your curse. If you can take the right person and be with the wrong time, you're going to have a bad situation. Person at the wrong time, you got a bad situation. Uh-huh. No matter how sanctified you are in it, whenever you get something too soon that you're not ready for, you won't handle. Look at this case in point. If you look at folks, right, that have won the lottery, who never had money before, studies have shown they got their blessing, and their blessing became their curse. Because they didn't have they weren't prepared to handle what was coming. They got it instantaneously, and now because they have it, they don't know, they usurp, and they go through it, then they do all kinds of things. And that's how when we get into relationships, you get something that's your blessing, you don't know how to handle it, and you will abuse your blessing. All I'm trying to do tonight with tonight's topic is teach you, not first, how to hear from God. Secondly, not to abuse your blessing, because if you abuse your blessing, it's too late once it walks away. See, the sad part is so many people only appreciate something when it's gone. It's too late then. I want you to appreciate somebody while they live, and they say, don't give me the flowers at my grave. Give me the flowers now to let me know that you appreciate me. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm saying? Let me know now. So I want you to be able to appreciate the thing that you have. If you're going to date, listen, make sure you're dating with a purpose. I said that this weekend. You know, I'm not an advocate for just dating to have fun and just going out. Because here's the thing. You ultimately won't be able to choose what's right over what's wrong in many instances because you're confused. Too many colors. All right, put it this way. Deb, what color flowers do you like?
I love red flowers, yellow flowers.
Okay,
okay. I'll
red,
go with
yellow.
I love flowers.
All right, so but you just see that's okay. You just said you like red flowers, you like yellow flowers. What other colors you like?
Orange. Orange is my absolutely favorite color, and I love orange flowers too.
See, you like flowers, right? So here's the thing. If you're put with too many choices, you're going to be confused because you like them all. But you have your absolute favorite. You see what I'm saying? So when you're put in the situation, if Ed brings home some yellow flowers, you appreciate the yellow flowers because you like flowers. You like the sentiment of what he's doing for you and saying that you're special, you're important to me, you're a priority, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people hear what I'm saying then. Ultimately, the thing that you like, it likes you too. But everything that you like ain't good for you. Everything ain't good for you. And that's important for you to realize that, you know, so you've got to understand that timing. I see Alicia. She said timing is key. Absolutely. Timing is critical to everything that you do. We got Verlissa out there who made a comment. She says total healing of the heart comes from God. He will say ready, set, go. I'm waiting until I get the green light from him. I've spent time with God and myself. No more relationship to relationship. He taught me how to love me and being a meaningful relationship with him. I like that, Melissa. That's really good. Tracy says, good point on the thought process of a man and a woman, Ed. She agreed the timing is key. So we're saying some things that are resonating. So here's the key, though. Why, when it's your time, do you fail the test?
So well, you know what's interesting?
Go ahead.
What's interesting, something just popped up on my timeline by Troy Spree, I think is how you say his last name. So it's an excerpt from his book, and he says, why do we make love and relationships so hard? Why do we let the thing that's supposed to feel so good cause us the most pain and confusion? Sometimes love is so hard because we try to force it out of someone who is incapable of giving it to us. It's hard because we tend to want to love people not for who they are, but for who we want them to be. And I think he hit that so right on that nail right on the head. We fall in love with people's potential. We fall in love for who they can be, who we want them to be. And we often spend so much time thinking about what that other person brings to the table or what we want them to bring to the table that we forget to look at what we bring to the table. What do we have to offer someone? How can we, you know, serve someone better or make someone's life better? And so selfishness plays such a huge role. Selfishness that still being broken and hurt and holding on to some of that pain and also trying to get people to love us the way we want to be loved instead of accepting people's limitations.
What do you mean by accepting people's limitations?
You know, we meet someone who clearly has some issues, clearly has some past, clearly has some things that they haven't dealt with yet. And so they're limited in how they can love us. They're limited in even how intimate they can be with us, how much they allow us to see into themselves. And we know that's not what we really want. We know that we're looking for someone who can give us more. But we try to push that person and force that person to let us in, show me who you really are, when they have shown us who they really are. So the way that they can love us is limited. They can't love us the way we want to be loved. They're not capable of it. But we try to push them past that limit, and then we end up disappointed because they can't love us beyond their limitation. And we have to learn to accept that. Either we're willing to accept what they can give, or we are willing to wait for the person who can give us the things that we really say we want.
But see, Debbie, here's the thing. That's spot on. But we can't wait while we date. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Because waiting and dating ain't the same thing, because all that's going to do is you're going to be looking at the potential of this person. You're going to compare that to the commonalities of this person. And so you've got to wait on God in the midst of it. And so when he says it's time, like Verlissa said, then it's ready, set, go, then he will sanctify that thing which he's called you to do. Remember in the story of David? David, you know, David's a little boy. You know, he was anointed with the oil over his head, and he didn't become king right away. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, it was a process before he became king, and then Saul, the current king, wanted to take his head off, the person he was the closest to. You know what I'm saying? So you gotta respect the process, too, that you've got to go through. And everybody has a different process because God's working on something in each one of us, you know, and that which he's working on, he will perfect it to where he's happy and content to move forward. Then that's time to go. But you got to learn how to hear the voice of it. No, so here's a couple things. I want to drop these things on you. When I started looking at this, y'all, I started thinking about, okay, what's the scripture say about the heart? So I went in and did a little research and found many things. But let me take y'all back to Mark 7 because this particular passage stood out to me. I'm going to drop seven things on y'all real quick, and then I'm going to shut up and let, you know, Debbie and Ed take it from here. This passage stood out for me for two reasons that stood out. For one, this is that passage, Mark 7, where the Pharisees, you know, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and they are talking about, you know, defilement. Okay, y'all remember talking about defilement. Now, the same thing that they're talking about is the unclean hands and all that. So it says, I'm going to give y'all what the NLT says, New Living Translation says, and I'm going to pick up at Mark 7:14. Then Jesus called to the crowds, come here, all of you listen and try to understand. It's not what goes into your body that defiles you. You are defiled by what comes from your heart. Here he is talking about your heart. Again, they're talking about the things that you eat and what you take in and how they're talking about traditional things. They're caught up. The first up to 1 through 14 are talking about tradition. And God, Jesus is talking about, I'm not talking about your tradition. I'm trying to get y'all beyond that. I'm trying to give you a relationship with me and for you to understand that what comes out of your heart. Verse 17, he says, then Jesus went into a house to get away from the crowd, and his disciples asked what he meant by the parable he had just used. And he said, don't you understand? He asked, can't you see that the food that you put into your body can't defile you? Food doesn't go into your heart, but only passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. By saying this, he declared that every kind of food is acceptable in God's eyes. Okay, verse 20. And then he added, it's what comes from inside. It's what comes from inside you that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, Debbie, what did he say? Out of a person's head? Did he say heart? Did he say heart or head, Debbie? I need a little clarity. Did he say heart or head?
Heart.
He said heart.
He said heart. Thank you, Brother Ed. Thank you, Sister Debbie. Comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All of these vile things come from within. They are what defile you. Some of y'all have been in so many different relationships doing the same foolish thing over and over, and what's happening is that you don't realize that you carry out the traditions of man. And those are the things that are defiling you because of what's in your heart. It's in your heart, those things. So what's in your heart is something that either you were taught, you caught, and that's deeply rooted in from the pain, maybe an experience that you had, and it's spewing out, and it's vomiting on others. Now that we laid the groundwork, watch this. All right, so now here comes this woman. She's a Gentile, right, by faith. They refer to her as a Syrophoenician. This is the same passage of Scripture. This is chapter 7. I'm in Mark 7, verse 24. From there he arose and went into the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered the house and wanted no one to know it. But he could not be hidden. For a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dog. And she answered to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. I want to take a minute, and if we would, and just kind of look at this part of the gospel. This gospel is also found in the Gospel of Matthew as well, and they refer to her as the Canaanite woman, but Mark has a different little context in it. Stay with me for a minute. I'm giving you seven things for a heart that's ready, okay? And we're going to look at this woman. Everything that she did, first thing is that how do you know if your heart's ready for a relationship? What's the first thing she did? She sought Jesus. She sought Jesus. A ready heart seeks the presence of Jesus. She knew whatsoever. So here's the thing I want to say to you. Whatever you're seeking is seeking you. But not everything that you're seeking is good for you. A ready heart seeks to be in the presence of Jesus. She knew that if anyone could help her sick daughter, it could only be Jesus. Sometimes we look for the wrong, we look for things in the wrong places, and we try the wrong things and turn to the wrong people. But so what we do, we're looking for love in all the wrong places, and we're trying the wrong things, and we're turning to the wrong people at the same time. She knew that if she was going to be healed, or for her daughter to get the healing, she had to seek Jesus. So number one, a ready heart. You want to see if a person's heart's ready? See how they seek the Lord. Are they seeking God? Okay. Number two, look what she does. So number one, the first thing she does, Ed, is what? She seeks God, right? The second thing she does is watch this. Scripture tells us, and it's right there. It says she falls, and when she entered the house, all right, the woman was a Greek Phoenician. She said, and she fell at his feet. The first thing she did is that she worshipped at his feet. Verse 25, if y'all want to read it. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. So first thing she did was to seek him. Second thing she did, she humbled herself. Humbled herself. Now, this is not just for women. It's for men, too. The context is. So the second point I have is humility is was her first choice. Second from seeking Jesus, humility was her first choice. When she met Jesus, the first thing she did was, again, fell at his feet. She made a choice. Humility is a choice. She humbled herself. Jesus is all about humility. Now, here's a little sidebar, ladies. I like to just throw this little caveat in there. It's far better to make the choice to humble yourself at the feet of Jesus rather than to stumble at the foot of a man. I'm going to say that again in case you missed it. It's far better to make the choice to humble yourself at the feet of Jesus rather than to stumble at the foot of a man. A humble heart will get you much further than a prideful reaction. Fellas, I got to come down your street too. Regardless of who says what, when they stoop low, you go high. Humble yourself and let God do the exalting. So don't walk in pompous and be like, yo, I'm the man, I got this. No. Stand down, bro. Stand down. You know, stay in your lane until it's the right time. The third thing, check this out. So the first thing was she sought the Lord. The second thing she did, she made a choice to seek humility, right? And then the third thing was persistently pursue your breakthrough. That's what I want to say. We look at verse 26, right? Verse 26 says, we don't know how far she walked. We don't know how far she walked or how long she had been seeking Jesus, but what we do know is she didn't give up. In the verse, it says that she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. So I want you to just know you got to persistently pursue your breakthrough. And when you look at the passage of Scripture, she just said from her daughter was sick, the woman was a Greek from birth, and she kept asking, this is verse 26, she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. So persistently pursue your breakthrough. You got to do that. So the first thing is you got to seek Jesus. Second thing is you got to have a humble heart. And the third thing is you persistently pursue your breakthrough. And guess what? Even with her persistence, even Jesus' initial response was not favorable. She did not give up, though. The first thing that came out of his mouth was not for her favor. He just told her, don't eat the dogs. He referred to her, I'm going to get to that in a second, what he referred in the context of the Scripture was that he talked about the dogs. I can't do this. The dogs have to get the scraps. But she's persistent in the pursuit of a breakthrough in spite of her pain. She was in pain. Some of y'all have been in some pain with situations you've been in. You've had some failures and some relationships. I said this past week. Your failure doesn't make you a failure. So stop believing that. You got to walk. Don't walk with pride. Don't walk in shame. Don't walk in guilt. You walk in the confidence of the Lord. And that only he can give it to you. But you got to seek him first. Then you got to humble your heart. Yeah, you've been heartbroken. You've been frustrated for a long time. You've been in a situation where you've been feeling like a doormat for long enough. But I want you to know that he thinks highly of you, much more than that. And I'm going to show it to you here. So fourth thing I want to show you is that don't take things out of context. Look at verse 27. For it is not good to take the children's bread, he says, and throw it to the little dogs. Don't take things out of context. Check this out. She could have taken an offense because when Jesus mentioned the word dog, Who you calling a dog? She could have said.
What?
No, she didn't take things out of context. Clearly, her heart was in the right place because she didn't vomit anger, malice, or anything else. You know what I'm saying? So she was mature enough. You got to be mature enough when you're dealing with relationships that when certain things are said to you, you don't take things out of context. Number five, how you answer during the test will determine the response from the teacher.
Mm.
How you answer during the test will determine the response from the teacher. All right, y'all don't believe me? Watch this. It doesn't take much to answer a question. When Jesus put her to the test, she didn't give him a whole lot of back talk. Damn, she ain't do a whole lot of gibberish. It wasn't all about
nope.
that. She answered it in one short statement. This is what she said. She says, "Yes, Lord." Yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs.
Right.
Then the teacher said to her, look, then Deb, the teacher said to her, for this saying, he said, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. She acted in faith, not out of pain.
Mm-hmm.
Some of y'all have been acting in pain, not out of faith. So we must reverse that so that we reverse the traverse what you've been doing, retrace your path, and now you're going to act in faith and not out of pain. So how you answer during the test will determine the response from the teacher. And you see that this time around, Jesus gave a favorable response to her. For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone what? Out of your daughter. So she didn't act in her pain. No, so first of all, she knew who the teacher was. I like that too, Deb. I had to note that in there. She knew who the teacher was when she acknowledged him by name. A faith response will move God over a fearful response any day. A faith response will move God over a fearful response any day. When God asks you a question, the question is what you're going to say. Or what you don't say will speak to the level of your faith or give life to your fears. I'm going to say that again. I think y'all missed that. When God asks you a question, what you say or don't say will speak to the level of your faith or give life to your fears. You might be in pain, but you've got to choose faith over your fears and faith over your pain. Okay, that's number five. Y'all with me so far? All right, I don't see y'all posting out here, but look. Now, the sixth thing I pointed out from this is that, ready, heart, a selfless sacrifice for others. She made a selfless sacrifice to others. She didn't have to be provoked or pushed to make the sacrifice for her daughter. What mother, think about this way, Deb. What mother would leave their child lying on their sick bed?
Mm-hmm.
She left her child. Who does that? So she obviously made a selfless sacrifice. That's a sacrifice right there for others, for her daughter. So you want to know if your heart's ready for a relationship, ask yourself the question, are you ready to make a selfless sacrifice for him or for her? A selfless sacrifice was unprovoked. That means you don't have to be pushed or you don't have to be prodded in order to do that. A healthy heart can help heal a heart. I just want you to know it's not about you, but it has everything to do with God working in and through you. It ain't about you. You got to get over that. If you're in a relationship and you say, everything got to be about me, how's this going to affect me, what's this mean for me, that means that's a selfish mindset right there. Everything ain't about you. So she made a selfish sacrifice for the benefit of her daughter. We can learn something from that in relationships. She never made it about herself. When your heart is in the right place, your focus will be about helping others. So you want to know, is she the right one? Look at her heart. Is her heart in the right place? Last thing I want to say is that service without complaint. I noticed that too, Deb. She ain't complaining about things. Nowhere throughout the process did we hear her murmuring or complaining. She served her daughter without complaining about her condition or focusing on her personal problems. You want to know somebody's heart's right? Look to see if they're willing to serve without complaint. If they always murmur and complaining, woe is me, or they're a Debbie Downer. Is their heart really in the right place to receive a relationship? And if they're doing it with looking for something, reciprocity, she didn't look for reciprocity. She served without complaint, not looking for something, because she said, number one, she made a selfless sacrifice, was my sixth point that she did. And number seven, she served without complaint because it wasn't about her. Too many of y'all, again, making this about you, so you want somebody to serve you, but you ain't willing to serve them. Or if you serve them, you give them 3-star service instead of 5-star success. And then you wonder why all my relationships have problems. It's not the relationship, it's you. okay? So you know you're ready for a relationship because every word that comes from your lips is I. This is when you're not ready for a relationship. Every word that comes from your lips is I or it's about you. Continue to serve them without reservation, but more importantly, forgive them like you would forgive your child.
Mm-hmm.
I said something right there. I got to repeat that. Forgive them like you would forgive your child. See, if you don't have children, you wouldn't understand that. But if you have a child, what happens is this. A parent's love for their children, it's unconditional. A child can make a mistake. The parent will still serve them regardless of what the child does. It's almost like they can do no wrong because there's nothing like a parent's parental love for a child. All what I'm simply saying in this point, I want you to serve them. Not as if they were a child, but you serve them with the sacrifice that you would for your child. That means it's not on condition. It's not about you. It's an interdependent relationship. Interdependent means it's healthy. It's both ways. It's a two-way street. We apply something. Now, I'm done. I'm going to shut up. So I'm going to go over these seven little things real quick again. I said the first thing I said is a ready heart seeks the presence of Jesus. That's the first thing. The second thing I said is humility is was her first choice. Other than her seeking Jesus, humility was her first choice. You want to know if they're ready for a relationship? Look and see if their heart's humble. Or are they prideful? Are they shameful? Are they in pain? Or are you playing rescuer? Okay? Third thing I said, persistently pursue your breakthrough. You got to act as if. You got to claim that thing. It's not name it and claim it. It's speak by faith. She persistently pursued her breakthrough because she knew that if she went there, that her daughter would be healed. The fourth thing I said is don't take things out of context. Even though Jesus referred to in the context of doll, he wasn't calling her a doll. He wasn't. So she didn't. Her breakthrough came because of her response. The fifth thing I said is how you answer during the test will determine the response from the teacher. The sixth thing I said is a selfless sacrifice for others. She made a choice. She made a selfless sacrifice for her daughter. And the last thing I say is service without complaint. She didn't complain about it. Some of y'all need to shut up and stop complaining. You complain about every relationship you get in, and then you want to blame, you want to attack the condition. Deb, check this out. When there's a statement that says the truth is not on trial, nor does it need a defense. But the truth is always at blame, right? When it's either guilt or shame, okay, when guilt or shame are the prosecutor, the truth is always on trial. I don't know if y'all caught that or not. You're oftentimes complaining about the same thing, but you got to look at the boy or the girl in the mirror and say, okay, am I acting out of my frustration because of my guilt or my shame, and then am I trying to point blame, trying to attack the witness or the character of the other person when in reality it's all about you? And if it's all about you, well, you know, Debbie, if Ed makes it all about him all the time, then I tell you like our pastor wife told him, she said, John Jenkins, the problem with this relationship is we both love John Jenkins, you know, and so that's the whole thing. And it's got to be one of these things where if we're going to be in healthy relationships, we got to be willing to face our truth. And when the truth is shown to you, don't attack the witness and the character of it. Operate in integrity. Operate in the spirit of trying to find oneness. Operate in the spirit of trying to understand, okay, is there truth to this? And if you really want to know, do a 360 feedback. If you really want to know, get 360 feedback. That means you survey the people that are closest to you and you ask the question, you know, when it's a pointed question, and then you wait and see what their feedback is. And then you match it to what you thought it was. Sometimes perception is not always reality. And then other times your perception is skewed. I'm done. What y'all learn from this?
Boy, I learned a lot. First of all, that's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. That woman's faith was on another level. Most of us would bring our child, right? We would think that Jesus would have to physically see or touch the child to heal the child.
Yes, yes.
This woman's faith was so crazy that she didn't even bring the child. She just knew if she came and spoke to him that he can do it from wherever he was, whatever distance there was between him and her child, that he could do it. He can cast those demons out And there's so many lessons in there, parenting lessons. But I also love the parallels that you made in terms of being ready for a relationship. As Christians, our first response, our first action has to be going to God. It has to be. Not just because we want to be in a relationship, but because we want to be right with Him. We want our relationship with Him to be right before we can get into a relationship with anyone else. And oftentimes we miss out on that. You know, we miss that. We're in a relationship and we are just using our own judgments, how we feel, what we think, our opinion, and that is what drives us in our relationship. And then we wonder why it falls apart. Well, there's nothing to hold you. There's no stability. There's no guidance. If you're not seeking God every single day on behalf of that person that you're in a relationship with, eventually that relationship will crumble because you have two people who are very different, have different perspectives, and if you don't have something that's centering the two of you, then you're going to be all over the place. You're going to feel one way today. He's going to feel another way tomorrow. He's going to feel this way tomorrow. You're going to feel this way today. And so there's nothing to anchor you, to hold you. And so as Christians, as believers, if we are not in our word daily, if we are not praying for guidance daily, if we're not praying for God to daily take away our selfishness, because we all have selfish ways. We want our own way. We want things to go the way we want it to go. So if we're not praying and asking God to take away those things, you know, you talked about what does the word say about the heart. Another thing that the word says about the heart is that it's deceitfully wicked. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so we cannot afford to trust our heart. That's what the world wants us to do. Trust your heart, follow your heart, listen to your heart, believe your heart. Well, the Bible tells me that my heart is desperately wicked. And so if I'm trusting my heart, where is it leading me? I have to trust God. I have to listen to God. I have to honor God. I have to be able to hear His voice. And I can only do those things when I spend time with Him, when I know Him from myself, when I'm completely satisfied with Him and Him alone. If everything else in the world is taken from me, relationships, money, jobs, home, will I be satisfied with just me and God? I think when you get to that place, that's when He will bless you with those relationships, because that's when you're ready. That's when your heart is ready for a relationship.
Amen.
Hey,
Chris,
amen. A lot of times we find ourselves involved in what we call relationship. And, you know, first of all, if you are not being led by God, if you're not understanding what it is to spend time in His presence, and you get yourself involved in with another person, you're not in a relationship, really. You're in a situationship. You know, until you're led by God, until you're being led by God. Check this out, Chris. You know, you quote a scripture the other, earlier on in the conversation, you know, the Bible says that he that finds a wife finds a good thing, which means that in order for me to find a wife, I have to be in search. I have to be looking. I have to be searching, and not only searching, but diligently searching. And I can, and when the Bible speaks that he that finds a wife, the Bible is talking about a virtuous woman, right? And so in order for me to find a virtuous woman, I have to be walking in the path where virtuous women walked. And in order for me to go in that path, then, you know, I have to be following God, because God is the navigation system that can only lead me to that virtuous woman. And so And so, which means that I have to surrender myself, I have to subject myself, I have to deny self and say, okay, God, I need to follow you. And in order for me to follow him, Christ, I have to learn how to spend time in his presence, because it is his presence that's going to lead me, Chris, to that virtuous woman, so that I can have a fulfilled and a fruitful relationship. If I'm having a relationship outside of Christ, you know, and I'm sorry, you know, to sound blatant, but if I'm having a relationship with an individual outside of Christ, it is not a relationship, really. It's a situationship.
Like that. I think we got a guest on the line, 301-273, you're live. Go ahead and tell us your name, what your comment or question is for the group. You're unmuted. Go ahead and tell us your name, your comment for your group. All right, cool. Well, that's it. I see we have some posts out in the group. Let's see. Deb, your heart is ready for a relationship. I got that. Tracy said selfishness leads to disappointment, deception, betrayal, and a closed heart. Absolutely. Listen, the heart's one of those things that you really got to be real with yourself. It's hard to be truthful with them if you can't be real with yourself. And sometimes there's nothing wrong with sitting on the sidelines for a little longer. There's nothing wrong with counseling. There's nothing wrong with finding a good coach. There's nothing wrong with enriching your relationship through workshops, seminars, things of that nature. Not at all. You have to be willing to do that. Now, when you do that, there's each time within your relationship, you've got to have space as well to breathe. So when you're doing workshops and seminars that are heavy, where you've got to go through and unearth some and discover some emotions and feelings that you really weren't able to articulate before, you need time now to go through the process of healing. It's kind of like having a, you know, if you have the dental surgery, they numb your mouth and everything. Well, you can't eat right away until the swelling goes down and the pain, in some cases, the pain subsides. Same way with a relationship. Sometimes we jump in and out of a relationship so fast because we are looking for something, and what we look for we ultimately find, but it's the wrong thing. And then we get attached to something and don't realize what we've attached to. Some things that are attached to you are things that will suck you dry. I did this thing before on the difference between a divine connection and an attachment. You know, the divine connection will lead you to your destiny. The attachment will suck something out you. If you look at an attachment, things that suck from you and don't give you anything other than the pain are leeches, ticks, things of that nature. You know, they're always taking something from you, but they never give you anything in return but a headache. You know, you don't want to be in a relationship that only gives you a headache. So if you find yourself in a situation or in a space where you're dealing with that, your heart's truly now being tested, because ultimately what's coming out of your heart, it's within you. And how you choose to respond during the test, as I said earlier, may be the difference of your blessing or not. So be careful. You don't want to block your blessing, nor do you want to curse. I said this on Saturday. Don't block your blessing and don't curse your cave. That cave experience is something that David needed. That during that time, he created three psalms. He went through a season of praying. He went through a season of worship. And then ultimately, he got to a place where he went through his breakthrough. So any comments, questions that y'all want to share with me, share it now the time, 619-924-0869. I want to know what you're thinking. Rob, I want to know what you're thinking. Okay, 301-273, let's do this again. 301-273, tell us your name, your comment for the show. Okay, cool. If you press 1 on your phone, I'll bring you in, because that's an indication that you want to share something. So it's okay. I'm always encouraged when we have first-time listeners or repeat listeners as well on the show. So it's good to know we ain't alone. That's out there. All right. I want to hear. Melissa, you got any other additional comments? I want to hear from you. I saw your amen. Tracy, you got anything for the good of the show before we close shop? Rob, you got anything out there? I know y'all got stuff to share because everybody just listens. You got a thought or an opinion. Remember, no one has a heaven or hell to put you in at all, and no one's judging what you say.
Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, we can.
Oh, okay, cool. I wasn't sure if I was on mute. It's Tracy. Yeah, I think you guys put it all in perspective. I definitely believe that your heart has to be ready. But both people have to be in a place, you know, to meet in the middle. You know, people always talk about relationships 50-50, you know, 80-20 rule. You know, I just don't buy all that. Everyone needs to come to the table 100%. I think when we rush into things, matters of the heart, like you said earlier, we're not healed. We're still broken, or a new person may do something that an old person did, and then that causes you to shut down again. I agree. I think you should have a fresh start, be willing. You definitely have to pray about it. The one thing I tell people, as well as I have to remind myself, be careful what you pray for, you know, because just because you're praying for something that you want, and you said it earlier, you know, the things we want may not be what we need. So I think all the points tonight were dead on. I learned a lot tonight, and I thank you.
Yeah, amen. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, and that's so important. Like, you know, I always tell people when they're starting in a relationship, apply the 80-20 rule. When you're initially starting out, now, look, here's the philosophy behind that. If you apply 80, if you save 20, your recovery is not as bad. If you jump in a dating relationship, speaking of, not a marriage, let's clarify that, a dating relationship where you're starting to get to know somebody, you got to keep something for yourself because right now you're still going through the vetting process to see do they deserve 100%. Does that make sense? When you're now, let's talk about marriage. Marriage is 150-150. You give everything you can. But now let's look at this, though. There are different instances within the relationship where you're going to bring 150, and sometimes all they have is 50. Okay? So it's an equality, or sometimes it seems as an inequality, but remember, you're one. So as one, it works together for the good for the relationships. But when you start to work in silos or in isolation, then you start to look at everything from it's compartmentalized, and you start to pick apart your issues, making them more of your problem. So when you look at your situation, it's easy to find. If you're looking for problems, you can easily find those. I always say apply the 5-to-1 rule. So 5-to-1 rule says, look, the goal is for any criticism or feedback, however you want to use the terminology, to constantly think of 5 things that you can do to put into the bucket. Some people have nothing to give, so you can't expect them to give you something they don't know how to give you. That's where you're going to have to be in the presence of God. Because when you're looking for your husband to say to be compassionate, but yet he doesn't know even how to spell empathy, you're going to have a hard time dealing with that because he's not going to have any sensitivity. So that's where you're going to have to show him how to do it. Because your model is different than the model he had before. Remember, most people we get have been through broken relationships. All right, so most people we get in these days aren't virgins in many instances. Not all, but most. So many have. So what you do here may not work there. How you touch her here may not be the right way here. Does that make sense? So you got to learn, and the only way sometimes for you to learn is you got to be schooled. But here's the difference, though. You can't train him up as if he's the child, ladies. You encourage him by speaking to his spirit, man. This is something I say that's major when you're dealing with matters of the heart. If you want to encourage him, you speak life into him more than you discourage him talking about him. It's easy to point out the things that stand out. But if you just try this for a day, that you're going to do a love dare, and you're going to think about, well, just if you're single, here's a dare, Ed, Debbie, for them, the singles. I want you on a daily basis for one week, to write down 5 things that you're grateful for. The number one killer for hatred or anything else is gratitude. Gratitude. Gratitude and love are universal languages, right? So if you can show gratitude for yourself, just write down five things that you appreciate about you, more so than speaking into him, just do this for you. Every day, I love that I can be, I seek the Lord every day. I love how my devotional time with God or whatever that it is, I'm fearfully made in his presence, you know. In the presence of God is a fullness of joy. Whatever your five are, I'm just trying to give you some, write five down and then build from there. So you can't speak into him half empty. And a lot of times people are trying to speak into other people. Help me out, Ed, Debbie. They're trying to speak to other people and speak into them when they have nothing to give. And so, therefore, your tank is emotionally drained, so you're financially bankrupt or deficient in that area, and you're coming up short. And you wonder why you're frustrated. You have nothing to give. Ed, Deb, thoughts, comments?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, you can't give what you don't have. You know, it's just like doing what we do with this relationship stuff and counseling people, and we're constantly pouring into people. And there comes a point where we have to go and just put everything down and go away for the weekend and let someone pour into us, because eventually, if you're not replenishing, you're just going to deplete your reserves. You won't have anything to give. And so there's so many people walking around. They're like the walking dead, you know. They're so wounded. They're so hurt. They haven't healed. They haven't even taken the time to confront their issues. They just keep burying them and burying them and going from one relationship to another relationship. And it's never going to work because, you know, they don't have anything to give. Whatever they have is so superficial. You know, they can only give it for so long before they're running on empty. And so, you know, those who are listening right now, I just encourage you to take the time you need for yourself. Take the time to just go away for the weekend and set aside social media. Stop looking at the news. Stop, you know, reading the tabloids and seeing who's dating who in Hollywood and who's divorcing who in Hollywood and just pouring all this negativity into your mind and allow your mind to be refreshed. You know, confront some of the things within yourself that you know needs to be confronted. Address them. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. And then you might have something to give to someone. You know, then you might have something to pour into someone else. But I just think there are too many of us walking around and we're just going off of fumes, you know. We're regurgitating what we hear other people say, but we're not learning anything new. We're not growing. We're not developing. We're not going deeper in the word. We're just repeating what we hear and just giving, you know, very superficially. Just very surface. People are just not willing to go deeper anymore. And I think if we would learn to go deeper with one another, share what we're really feeling and thinking and going through, and allow others to do the same, the healing will begin.
I agree with that. Exercise came to mind, another exercise. So I already gave one assignment. So this is something my man Delatorre McNeil did years ago. If you take a piece of paper, you can do this with a piece of paper, or if you want to really draw the illustration out, do it with a brown bag, a small paper bag. On one side of the bag, I want you to write down who and what is pouring into your bucket or into your bag. Who and what, okay? Then on the other side of the bag, write down who or what is taking out of your bag. We all hear a thing, we are where we are because of the quote, the proximity of the people that are around us. You know, so, you know, there's a saying, if you want to be successful, you hang with successful people. But sometimes in life, there are people that drain you and that take so much from you on a daily basis, but they don't give anything in return. So their bank account is bankrupt, you know. So do that exercise, and then the third exercise, the final exercise I want to give you is there's a thing called the emotional wheel, right? It's to see there are emotions are a multiplicity. There are a multiplicity of emotions. Oftentimes we stick to the five: angry, sad, happy, you know, joyful. Those are the ones we know. But if you were to kind of look up emotions, I want you to choose what are your top five emotions that you experience as you're writing down your gratitudes. After you do that throughout the day, just take a look and write down the five emotions that you dealt with today. The idea is here that you're going to list those emotions. So I was happy today, I was frustrated, I was angry. That's your home. They call this home. Wherever your consistency is with your emotions, that's where your state of mind is. That's where your state of being, your existence corroborates with your truth. That's where you are. So it's going to take those five things that you're saying in terms of gratitude, override, and to start to shift your home environment for your emotions. Okay? So when you do that, the goal is to go back to your gratitudes and read those again until you really believe them. We have what we have because of what we believe. If you don't have it, maybe it's because you really don't believe it. So if you want a healthy relationship, you got to start speaking, I got a healthy relationship. If you want to have a loving relationship, I have a loving relationship. You know, I want to be married. Okay, it's got to be more than this, I want to be married. Because marriage ain't enough to keep you. The title of marriage won't keep you alone. It's going to take more than that. Trust me, it's going to take more than that. You feel me? Ed, you've been quiet over there, man. I got to come your way.
No, brother, you know, God laid it out for us, man, and we get stuck and stupid because we want to do things our way, brother. You know, and since you're speaking about the heart, you know, it reminds me of a scripture when God says, that we should trust him with all our heart, brother, not with a little piece, not with the portion that we think we don't have, and, you know, God, I don't have this part, so you take this part. He said, trust me with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your path, because you do not have a path without me. You don't know where to go without me. If you're trying to seek something without me, you won't find it. So, you know, allow me to direct your path, brother, and God never lead us into a place where he does not desire us. You know, remember that he has a purpose for us, and if we're doing everything anything outside of the purpose, then we're just surviving. You know, we have to trust him with all our heart and stop leaning to our own understanding, because he wants to direct our path so that we can have a fruitful life and a fruitful relationship, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree, Debbie. We're going to go ahead and close this out. You got closing comments?
Oh, I think I've said most of what I want to say. But, you know, how do you know when your heart is ready for a relationship? I can only speak from a Christian point of view and say when you hear from the Lord, you know, that you're ready. When you're no longer bitter or angry, when you don't feel as if, you know, being single is a curse and you can't wait for the curse to be broken, when you're alone but you're not lonely, when you are satisfied with your life, you know, when you're satisfied with Jesus, when you're not hurting anymore. So many of us go into relationships, we're still hurting from the last one, and we jump into a new one thinking that it's going to help to ease the pain. But only you can answer that question truthfully to determine when you're really ready to be in a relationship, not just because you want one. You know, like you just said, not just because I want to get ready because all my girlfriends are getting ready, or, you know, I'm 40 years old now and all my boys are married and I'm not married. You know, there has to be something deeper than just I want this. And so it takes some soul searching, you know, and I'll go back to what I said previously. Take some time to get alone, to get quiet, to get still in his presence and really listen to what he's trying to say. But again, that it's a question that really only you can answer.
The words of Shakespeare, to thine own self be true. You've got to be true with yourself, and you've got to know, look, if your heart's still hemorrhaging and you really haven't healed or haven't had the space and time to heal, you've got to go through the healing process, because the experience that you have next will only further complicate your trauma that you've experienced, if you've experienced trauma. So don't fake it till you make it. Just be real as best you can. And if you need help, get help. That's what we're all about. If you need to reach out to me, reach out to me via email. I've got tons of therapists and counselors and coaches that I know that I can refer you to that probably take your insurance plan. And as I said, the best you can be the best we. So when you are better, we are better. And at the end of the day, a better you, a better me is a better we. So, Ed, any closing comments, thoughts?
He just walked out the room.
There we go. We can drop the mic on that note. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a treat and pleasure to roll with y'all tonight. I want to thank both the Smiths, Ed and Debbie. And Debbie, it was good to hear your voice tonight. That was really special. I appreciate you blessing us tonight.
Thank you. It was good to be here.
That's good. Well, until next week. Next week, I think we're going to do the next show, Deb, we're going to do is what happens when your ideology doesn't match up to your reality. So, in other words, I signed up for this, but this is not what I expected. We're going to talk about that next week.
Okay. It's going to be hot.
It will be. Same bad time, same bad channel. We'll holler at y'all next week. Peace. We out.
Good night, everybody.
Later, Deb. Good night.